as we prepare to talk politics, and we do that as always with Professor Jim Jones. What have you done this morning, mate? You've turned up suit and tie. You're making me look very bad. Oh. Very bad.
Morning, Mark. No, this morning was the first of the economic breakfast run by the Hunter Research Foundation Centre, which is part of the Faculty of Business and Law now. It's sort of transitioned across to our faculty and part of the university. So it was a major milestone this morning. It's the first of its economic updates. And generally, if I might just add to that, Mark, the economic outlook is looking pretty good for the Hunter. The figures are all going more or less in the right direction for a change, which is really good.
That is some good news. Well, they say clothes maketh the man, so I think you're filling the part this morning, Jim.
That's thanks, good. Mark.
Look, the Western Australian election did sneak in this week, and, well, what's happened? We've got a brand new government. The ALP have taken over. Was that expected to happen?
Well, there were variations on a theme here. In WA, I think it was anticipated, first of all, that the Liberal coalition would lose. They're on the nose for a number of reasons, possibly economic mismanagement and the promise to, or one of the issues that the election was fought on was a privatisation issue, and that didn't resonate well with voters. The Labor Party was perhaps expected to win if you're in WA, but for those of us living over here on the eastern seaboard, outside of Western Australia, there was a lot more attention focused on the role of One Nation and its impact on that election. Its impact at the lower house level, where the government is formed, yes, statewide it picked up about 4.8% of the vote. In some seats it picked up a little more, in others not much at all. But its impact on the WA election was not all that great. It will get one, maybe two seats in the upper house. And you asked whether it was expected, this particular outcome with the Labor Party. I think you could say in WA, yes, it was, that the Labor Party was poised to take victory. The Liberal National Coalition suffered a pretty big swing overall. Something like 15% for the Liberal Party, not so big a swing for the Nationals, but they had five seats. They will probably end up with five seats. The Liberal Party is losing a number of seats, and it's probably more reeling, shall we say, from the shock of the election than it didn't perhaps anticipate to go down so hard.
Yeah, because we've got to talk about the impact of One Nation there, because you mentioned you didn't think it had such a huge factor, but it seems to be one of the things that everybody's been talking about, and now perhaps federal implications as we move towards other elections, you know, should they be doing deals with Pauline Hanson or not? And nobody seems to want to come out and say, yes, we will, or no, we won't either. A bit early, I get.
But. Well, it is perhaps. But, you know, in the WA situation, one of the things that played into Labor's hands, apart from the, shall we say, the decline of the government and its being on the nose with the voters, was that those people who were feeling really disaffected by the government and perhaps by the Labor Party looked to One Nation, and then One Nation did a deal with the governing party, and that in WA was a big issue in many ways. I think not so much a voters issue, but more a sort of, hey, we're looking for an alternative, and now you're lining yourself up now. Pauline Hanson may well be right that voters don't understand necessarily how preferences work and all of that sort of thing. That's irrelevant. What's really relevant here is that the message that voters got was that One Nation doesn't stand for what it stands for, and one might challenge what exactly does it stand for when it comes to the nitty-gritty. But what we saw in WA was that it was prepared to line up with the party in power in order to enhance its own standing, and that did not work well with voters. The other thing, if I can quickly say, Western Australian politics is slightly different. It's a bit like Northern Territory politics and a bit like Queensland politics. The other states are sort of interlopers. And another factor that sort of possibly operates in WA was that this was the East Coast sending over, you know, this is Pauline Hanson's One Nation coming over, and the party powerful, shall we say, in the East Coast were sort of looking to get involved with the WA election. And for Western Australian voters, it's sort of like this is our little area and we're not keen to have you people from the big cities over in the East Coast interfering or messing around in our election. So the swing to Labor is the biggest win it's had in probably 35 years since the late 80s. It's hitting, likely to get 40 seats. Over 42% of the vote went to the Labor Party. They haven't had that sort of return since about 1988. So that's a pretty big win for the Labor Party.
Yeah, they are certainly big numbers. And of course, Jim, now that we have only New South Wales and Tasmania being Liberal-held seats, states rather, what implications can we see there moving forward? Is there perhaps now a shift back to the left and the Labor Party across the board?
Well, I think before we just move on to that, Mark, just the other element of the WA election, Labor won't have control of the upper house, so it will have 15 of the 36 seats. That's what it's looking like at the moment. The other parties will be able to form a majority if they need to sort of temper what the Labor government does in the lower house. But in terms of what that might mean for how we read politics across the country, particularly for New South Wales and other states, the Liberal-held states, it's probably a message to the coalition at the federal level that sitting on the sort of right-wing side of policy and politics is not where it needs to be in order to maximise the voting support. At present, the Turnbull government is looking a little like it's out of touch. Exactly what they might do in terms of its relationship to One Nation, I think for the time being, Mr. Turnbull will likely play it close to his chest and keep people guessing, in particular One Nation, because it might work to his party's favour to have One Nation seen as allying itself with the party of power. And so it may well be a way of undermining One Nation's political capacity by appearing to be cozying up to it. But he can't do that too obviously and too much, because that will then rebound on him as well, because there are plenty of, I think, Liberal Party supporters who would prefer to see the party move back to around the centre, centre-right, maybe even a little bit to the centre-left, back into the mainstream rather than to be seen to be a party of the fringe.
I guess a message to Malcolm Turnbull, and he's got a little bit of time up his hands to do a bit of tweaking and figuring out how that'll work for him. But some interesting results out of the Western Australian election.
Certainly,
that's for sure.
Mark, the time up his sleeve may be shorter than he thinks, because there are people sharpening knives in the back room. So he needs to be a little more canny about how he operates.
That sounds like some good advice for him. Thank you, Jim, for joining us this week.
My pleasure, Mark.
As always, that's Professor Jim Jost talking politics with us right here at 2NURFM 103.7.